Dear congregation, if you were to ask a Jew what is special about your clothing, I hope they would point down to the bottom of their robe or whatever it was and point to a string of blue and say, "This blue thread is the most special part of my clothing." And you maybe say, "Why? How can a blue thread be so special? What can a blue thread on your clothing do for you? What can it do for you in the midst of the joys and griefs of life? What can it do for you in the midst of the troubles that you go through? What can it do for you in the midst of the puzzles and riddles of life? What can it do for you day by day? A little piece of blue string. Is that so special?" But that's what our text is about this evening. Verses 37 through 41 of Numbers 15. About this little blue string. You could also ask, what is so special about a few drops of water going on your forehead? What can those few drops of water do for you in the midst of life, in the midst of what you go through in life, to the end of your days? Just a few drops of water. Is that so special? And yet, we hope to hear this evening, not only was that blue thread so special, but also that water of baptism is so special because of what God attaches to it and uses it for. And so let us listen to this text under the theme, God's Blue Thread Reminders. 3 points. First, God's blue thread reminders are a divine gift. Second, a humbling gift. And third, a covenant gift. God's blue thread reminders, a divine gift, a humbling gift, and a covenant gift. First then, a divine gift. The Lord here is speaking to the people of Israel in the wilderness. The people in the wilderness had already disobeyed God and were sent back into the wilderness after coming so close to the promised land. These were a disobedient people. And yet God continues to have dealings with them and continues to speak to them and continues to give instruction to them about the generations to come, showing his faithfulness. And in the midst of that, he gives this instruction in verse 38, "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments." Deuteronomy 22, verse 12 also highlights, "Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters," or literally wings, "of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself." And here also in our text, it speaks of the borders, or literally the wings of the garment, those edges of the garment, perhaps especially the corners of the garment. In those days, they didn't wear pants or nice neat skirts, but long robes, and usually that outer piece of clothing would even be have four corners at its bottom. It was draped over them. And now it says on that bottom there was to be this ribbon, this string of blue. And it could also be especially a focus on these corners that there were to be these tassels. And there's ancient pictures of people in those days which would have tassels on the corner, which would be around this long or so. And they would have to have a string of blue in that tassel, in each of those tassels. Now, the ones that were poor were thankful that it was only a string and not a lot of blue, because blue was a special color. It took a lot to be able to dye something in this bluish color. Apparently, the dye came from snails, and it would take thousands of snails to have enough dye to dye an entire piece of clothing blue. And so they could be thankful it was just the string that they needed to have. We can ask, why this blue? Why not brown or yellow or orange? Those were ordinary colors. But no, it had to be this special color. It was the color of royalty. They were all to have that color of royalty. It was a color also that we find in the tabernacle, in the dwelling place of God. That place that pointed the people of Israel above to that heavenly dwelling place of God beyond the blue skies. It was a heavenly color. It was a royal color. And they were to have that color there on those tassels. Again, we could ask why. And the most basic answer is God has commanded it. And that's why. And so if there were children who just didn't understand, why do we have to have this blue string? The parents could say, well, God commands us. And that should be enough, right? Sometimes children don't understand all the reasons why. But if the Bible commands it, then that's what we're to do. And we're not to say, I'm not going to do it unless I understand it. But at the same time, it's important to understand why the Bible commands what it commands us to do. And we're given instruction here why God commands this blue string to be there. Notice what he says in verse 39. It shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. God gave this blue string as a visual reminder of all that God commanded them to do, so that they would see it and they would remember. This is what God commands us to do. All that God commands us to do in his whole word. So that when a young woman got up in the morning and she put on her clothing and she noticed those blue tassels there at the bottom, she would remember, God has given me his word and his commands. They are to govern my life today. And when there was a young man in the midst of all the challenges of his day, and the day was going wrong, and his boss was not fair to him, and others were doing so much better, and his wife was sick at home, and he was having a hard time providing for his family, and he was tempted to envy like Asaph did, as we heard on Wednesday night, then he was only to look down and see that ribbon of blue, and he was to remember, what does God command me to do in this situation? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37. To see that reminder, to look down and then look up at this God and what he commands. And when there was a mother in her home, in the midst of all the busyness of life, I have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do the other thing, and she's so busy with so much. And in the midst of all that busyness, she looks down and she sees that blue. And what is she reminded of? All that God has commanded, including what? What God had said in Deuteronomy 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And of course, that's just as much for fathers as for mothers. To see the blue and remember. And when there was an older farmer, it was in the midst of the harvest season, and he had been working hard, And he was wondering, should I go to the feast in Jerusalem or not? There's more things I could do here. He was to look at that ribbon of blue and remember Exodus 34. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel, to remember and do. And when there was a young man who was alone and was tempted to indulge in sin, and then he looks down and he sees that blue thread, it's a reminder to him of what he is to do. Deuteronomy 10, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all their heart. We can go on thinking of so many scenarios because these blue threads were a reminder to the people of all that God commands, which is relates to all of life. Reminders, what God commands. Are you thankful when you receive reminders of what God commands? You don't resist that, do you? If there is that, there's that text on the wall. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you thankful for that reminder? And when you're going along and someone else reminds you of what God calls us to be, are you thankful for that? Do you say, yes, I need reminders? And maybe, do you even think, wouldn't it be nice to still live in these days of the Old Testament when there was this ribbon of blue, which was a constant reminder every day again? Remember what God commands you to be, to do. We don't live in the Old Testament. And this prescription does not apply to us. We don't have to have blue on the bottom of our skirts or of our pants. But we do have something else, don't we? Does our baptism not have the same message? Remember all God says and commands and do it. Is our baptism not a continual reminder of what we are to be every day? And that we're not to just pick and choose when we will serve the Lord or what commands we will listen to and which we will set aside. But our baptism is that reminder that we are to be all for the Lord and submit to all that he says every day. You don't see it. That water is perhaps long dried up. But on the other hand, that mark is still there. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you remember day by day, I've been baptized. God's mark is upon me wherever I go. And I've been reminded of it again this evening. And it comes with that reminder to hear and do all that he says. If baptism is going to function in this way, then we need to remind ourselves of baptism and what it reminds us of. Then we also need to teach, don't we, what God says and what God commands. Are we not also to teach our children who this God is and what he calls us to be? Are we then not to search the scriptures ourselves and come together as a family to read those scriptures and learn from those scriptures of this God and what he calls us to do? That light of that word would shine upon us in our lives, the whole of our lives, wherever we are, whatever we are doing. We would not neglect that word, but we would open it to learn all that God commands. And it comes with a call to do it. What a calling. Not simply a blue thread, But baptism that we carry with us all our days is a reminder of the God who speaks to us. And when that comes home, we realize we need more than a God who speaks commands, don't we? Because there's something so humbling about this reminder of what we are to be. Because it shows and exposes what we're not. In that sense, it's so humbling. Our second point, a humbling gift. Think of how many years after this command, the Pharisees would make long prayers to God. And they would make sure they had their robes on. And they made sure that blue was prominent on their clothing. They turned the message of the blue thread into a display of their religiosity. And Jesus rebuked them as hypocrites in Matthew 23, verse 5. It says, all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They didn't just have a string of blue. They would have a broad ribbon of blue, a broad blue there at the bottom to show how seriously they took the word of God and the law of God. Look at us. They made it broad for everyone to see, to be impressed with how serious they were in taking the law. How easily that can be done. The very things that should humble us, we turn into means to lift ourselves above others. Baptism, we can do that with baptism. There's nothing more humbling than baptism. But how easily we can begin to think because we're baptized, we're better than others. You don't have to teach your children that. You drive with them to church past all those stores, and those are the bad people over there because they're in the stores, and we're going to church. We're the good ones. It's natural to us to take the privileges of God and turn them into things that make us think we're better than others. And we don't realize the fact that we're baptized and that we're in church comes with such a high calling to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and we fail to. It could be the Lord's Supper. There's nothing more humbling than that, but it can be turned into a display of how godly I am and that I'm better than others who don't go. We can hear the law. We can outwardly do the things that the law requires, and we can pride ourselves in our doing of them, and we can look down on others who don't. But then we haven't understood the message of them. This blue reminder is a most humbling gift. Because just think of this. Should we need reminders that we are to do what God commands? Should we need that? If anything, those broad borders of the Pharisees were a witness against them, because actually what they are saying is, I need a broad band because I'm so prone to forget, and I might lose sight of a narrow one. I need a big one because I'm so prone to forget the law of God. That's really what their broad blue bands on the bottom of their robes would testify. Adam, did he need a constant reminder that he is to love God and serve God and trust God? Was he prone to forget that? Need a reminder? He did love God, didn't he? With all his heart and mind and soul and strength. That law was written on his heart. But we need reminders because we, let's be honest, are so prone to forget the word of God, forget the law of God in the midst of temptation or just in our regular daily life, which is full of temptations, but just going through life to forget God. So many thoughts can fill us that squeeze out the word of God. And we need these reminders of God and his word. Psalm 59 calls the unconverted, ye that forget God. Jeremiah 2 verse 32 has to complain, my people have forgotten me days without number. What a mercy. God sees that proneness to forget, and he gives this reminder to see every day. Our problem is actually worse than forgetfulness. The Lord knows our hearts through and through, far better than we do. Look at verse 39. He knows that we're prone to do what verse 39 warns about, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. If we're not living according to God's will, it's because we're living according to our own heart. And by that, it means our own sinful heart, which is out of tune with God's heart. Just going by what I feel, going by what I want, going by what makes me happy, going by what will get me out of difficulty and suffering, going by my own heart, going by my own eyes. What I see that stirs up desire to have, to enjoy, whatever else. Just going by what I see around me. My own eyes. Eyes are powerful things, aren't they? Christ says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Going after your own eyes. Following your eyes. Your heart following your eyes. That's what he warns about. Is that not what keeps so much of the entertainment industry going? The power of the eye to go after things. So much advertising, the power of the eye to go after things. And how much is looked at, even though you would never do it yourself, but it's looked at. It says, beware. But ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes. That's such a danger. Think also of Asaph, again in Psalm 73. What was he doing? He was using his eyes. And he was looking. And he was looking at the wicked, and the wicked prospering. And he was looking at himself, and him suffering. And he said, my foot had almost slipped. After his own eyes. What a danger that is. And it leads to what it says here, to go a-whoring. It leads to spiritual adultery. It leads to turn away from God, to idols, which seem more powerful and attractive than the living God, only because our hearts are so corrupt. God knows how prone we are to go by what we see. And that's why he gives to Israel these visible reminders, this blue thread on their own garments as they look down. And when they look down and saw someone else, they would see that blue to remind them. See how condescending God is to use visible things to testify of his glory. Isn't that also why he uses visible water? We can see, and that is placed upon those who are baptized as a visible reminder of who he is and what we are to be. In congregation, when we realize what we are to be, realize what we are, then does it not become so clear that there's none of us who have failed, who have kept and done all that God commands. There's none of us who have walked as we have ought to walk. This tassel, which is to remind of God's will for all of life, so exposes the opposite or not. Tonight, as you sit here, as I stand here, what's it show of us? Congregation, there's only one who did not need to be ashamed of anything he did while he wore those blue tassels. There's only one who remembered every command of God to do it. There's only one who delighted in his very heart every moment of his existence in the law of God. There's only one whose eyes never led him astray, but who had a single eye, God's name, to glorify. There's only one who wore that robe with a ribbon of blue on its bottom and kept what that reminded everyone else to do. He is the one who had the law. He was the embodiment of that law. And when you sense something of his perfect holiness underneath that robe with the blue fringe of God's law upon it, it's all the more humbling, isn't it? Because if he is what I ought to be, then I am so far from what I ought to be. And I need grace. And that's our final point. God's blue thread reminders are also a covenant gift. Do you hear, in the end, who is speaking this instruction? Verse 41. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. He speaks here first as that covenant God, the one who has bound them to himself. He established that covenant with Abraham and with his seed through the generations. In Genesis 17, he shows, doesn't he, that they were to be circumcised as a sign of that covenant that he made through the generations, promising, I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. God showed his faithfulness to his promise. And again, he confirmed that promise when he delivered them out of Egypt. And in Exodus 6, he said, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. This didn't mean that he was the God of all these people in a saving way, that they all had their sins forgiven and they all were on their way to heaven. But he was coming to them in his covenant, and he was establishing that bond with them. And he was showing that the gods of the Egyptians were not their gods, and the gods of the Canaanites they were going to were not their gods. All those heathen gods had no claim upon these people of Israel. God had his claim upon them. God established his bond with them. He was showing them that there was no other source of help for them than him, and that he would be their God of full supply. He would be the one who we sang of earlier, open wide thy mouth and I will fill it. That's what he was proclaiming as he was saying, I will be your God. And is that not also what he says in baptism? He comes to us, as we have read in that form, to be our God and the God of our children. That he separated us from the world. And has said that world is to have no claim on you. And the idols of that world are to have no claim on you. I am your God. You're for me. And in doing so, he also shows he is the God of the fullness of everything that we need. That we need not seek it anywhere else. Because everything we need is in him. And he does this not because we're better than others. And he does that for our children not because we're good as parents. But he does it in his sovereign good pleasure. May we realize that. May we teach our children that God has set us apart for himself to be holy. You know, that blue string I mentioned earlier, it's the color of royalty. And there's a sense in which that blue string was testifying that Israel was royalty, was to be a kingdom of priests, that belongs to the royal King of Heaven. Whether that person was a laborer and a servant of someone else, or whether it was David on the throne, whether it was someone who others just looked down on, or whether it was someone that other people looked up to, it didn't matter. They were all to have that blue string as a reminder that God had come in his covenant to them all so that they all would be royalty, belonging to the King of Heaven. It was a testimony even to the nations around them. So that when others would ask, why do all those Jews have that blue string? They could testify. This is the mark, is a sign that we belong to Jehovah, the true and living God. They were not to be ashamed of that blue, but to confess it, to show it. This is who we are. And so also as one's baptized, the calling is actually he marks you out to be a royal priesthood, to belong to him, and not to be ashamed of that, not to try to fit into the world, look just like them, act just like them, dress according to their standards, live according to their standards. To be marked as ones, been set apart by God, and not be ashamed to be different. This was to show also within that covenant community. The blue was a reminder to each other. We are for the Lord. His claim is on us. It's what binds them together. All those different people. And it levels them all before God. And then that question comes, how can sinful people know this God as their God? And maybe that's not just an abstract question. Maybe that's a question that you have. How can I know this God as my God in that saving way? The other aspect here is that he speaks as a God of redemption. That's what he grounds it in. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. He reminds them that they were there in bondage, and he is their great redeemer. He is not in the first place just a God who comes to them and says, this is what you have to do for me. He is the one who came to them and saw them there in that bondage to that heathen Egyptian power, and he brought them out with a strong arm and destroyed their enemies. And through that redemption on that night in which the angel of death came and passed over those houses which were covered with the blood on the doorposts. And so he showed that redemption was in the way of blood being shed. The blood of a lamb being shed in the place of the firstborn so that he may be spared, showing that Israel could belong to him and Israel could know his favor for the sake of blood, the blood of a sacrifice. And congregation, in a far greater way, is that not shown to us this evening when we see, yes, it's clear water, but you see the red. Not a blue, but you see the red tonight of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the water points to. That's what it signifies. The blood of Christ that has been shed to cleanse from sin. And is that mark not actually even richer than a blue thread? The mark of the blood of Christ upon you. Is that not something to plead? To plead before God as children, as young people, as adults. He's placed that sign of the blood. He's marked me with the blood of Christ. That he would fulfill it. And that he would be that great God of cleansing, and through cleansing of deliverance from bondage to sin and from under the condemnation of God. Because of the blood, because that blood is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we heard of earlier, who was pure. Underneath his robe was righteous every moment. And therefore, when he died, it was not for his own sin that he died. It was for the sin of others, for the sin of those who have been marked by that sign of his blood and yet defiled themselves with sin. Is that you? Oh, there's cleansing tonight in his blood. Whatever you've been, whatever you've done, even after the Lord has come so close to you and placed his name upon you, is that not reason to come before God tonight, pleading only the blood of Christ? Saying, as it were, with that woman, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole, cleansed. He comes near. He comes near in the robes of Scripture, in the clothing of Scripture, he comes near. Just like he was near in that crowd that was around him that day when that woman with the issue of blood was there. They were so near, but she understood, and she touched, and that power went out of him. She was cleansed, and she was healed. There's nothing richer than that. Whether we're young or old, nothing richer than to know the power of his blood, redeeming and cleansing and reconciling to God, to know this God as your God, to know the riches and the wonder of being royalty, of belonging and being in the kingdom of God. He's incomparable. You heard it last Lord's Day evening. There's no one like this God. And therefore there is nothing compared to belonging to this God through Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit. Then you understand the last element here. And that is, he is the covenant God. He is the God of redemption. And out of that flows that call, be ye holy. That's what he calls for here. Be ye holy unto your God. The order is never be holy enough and then God will save you. No, he's a God of redemption. He's a God of cleansing. And as he comes and he finds you in the midst of your sin and he cleanses you and he redeems you and makes you his own and makes you royalty, he then says, be holy. Be dedicated to me. Walk before me and delight in holiness. Because then holiness is not a burden. And to be reminded of it is not an aggravation, but it's something you desire. And a failure to be holy is what pains you, and what burdens you, and what troubles you. Because you want to be for such a God. Do you know what holiness is? Romans 13, verse 14 puts it this way. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Christ, as I said, is the one who was holy and who always remembered the law of God and did it every moment. And he's the one who not only covers all that sin with his blood and his righteousness, he's also the one who begins to clothe with himself, with his righteousness. And that is the most beautiful garment you can ever wear. Christ and himself. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, congregation, has your baptism led you to Christ, to receive him? to put on Him? And are you thankful for every reminder that points you to Him? The border of blue was a reminder. Every day, remember God, the covenant God, comes to you. Your baptism is a reminder for you for every day.